You ready for the word?
Yes.
They should have some slide presentation at the back there, so they will put up slides as we go along. We'll be talking about faith today. Somebody said, is not God done with the faith movement? Well, last I read, I've never heard somebody say faith has been done away with. We still need faith to live in God's presence, so to speak. And so we'll be talking about it. Yes, there are moves that come and they go, but grace is not a move. Grace is a person. Prophecy is not a move just for today. Prophecy, despise not prophecy. It's been written there for 2,000 years. And so sometimes we think that these things are moves, but really in the mind of God, you see, the day of salvation is not today, Sunday. It's every single day ever since Jesus rose from the dead. Some people are waiting for the year of Jubilee. There is no such thing as a year of Jubilee in the New Testament. Every single day belongs to the year of Jubilee since Jesus rose from the dead. Well, when is the 50th year? No, Jesus came to set us free. And that is today. And so we don't mind so much about the holidays and the different things, because it doesn't matter what day it is, healing is mine. It doesn't matter what day it is, God provides for every need that there is, and you don't have to wait for that 50th year no more. That's Old Testament thinking. Amen. But now, in Hebrews chapter 11, you can turn there with us, and we'll start there today. Hebrews chapter 11. How important is faith? Well, Hebrews chapter 11 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please him. For whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. And so without faith, it's impossible to please him. Well, the days of pleasing God are not over. We please God by faith. Then over in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and verse 9, we have that, for by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. We please God by faith. We are saved by faith. Without faith, there is no salvation. Without faith, there is no pleasing God. Then back over in Hebrews chapter 11 in the 33rd verse, you know, here in Hebrews 11 we talk about Abel, we talk about Enoch, we talk about Noah, we talk about Abraham and Sarah and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and so forth and so on. And then Paul or whoever's writing is saying, excuse me, but I'm running out of papyrus. He said, what more shall we say, for time would fail me to talk of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and so forth. Verse 33 now, who through faith conquered kingdoms, enforced justice. I wish I had time to talk about enforcing justice, but that's part of what the church is supposed to be doing through the faith walk. That has to do with dealing with things in the nation. But anyways, next, obtained promises. So we have that we please God by faith. We are saved by faith. We obtain promises by faith. God is not done with the faith movement because he's not done with the church. The church is a faith church. Then in Romans chapter 1, Paul writes, and he gives the essence of the gospel in one epistle that he writes to the Romans. And the thesis statement of the book of Romans is there in verse 16 and 17 of Romans chapter 1. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For the gospel, and he doesn't talk about the various waves, but the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who does what? Everybody say, believes. To everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, that's us Nairobians, we are the Greeks, the non-Jews. For in it, that is in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Shall live by faith. We please God by faith. We are saved by faith. We obtain promises by faith. We live by faith. Faith is a lifestyle. Faith is not that one special tool that you bring out of the bag when you come to a problem that any other tool cannot accomplish. Are you here today?
Yes.
Some people think of, well, you know, if all else fails, let me go the faith route. Faith is not an emergency tool. Faith is a lifestyle. It's how we live. It's how we walk. And so, and they have this on the screen. So the life of faith is not. The life of faith is not. It is not a fad. It is not an option. It is not only for a few. And it is not an outdated way of life. The life of faith is not a fad. The life of faith is not an option, because we live by faith. We are saved by faith. We obtain promises by faith. Anything you obtain from God, it comes by faith. So it cannot be an option. We have to live by faith. It's not just for a few, for whosoever would believe shall be saved. It's not just for a few. It's not for your neighbor. It's for me. Everybody say, the faith life is for me. And so, it is not an outdated way of life. It is for us now. It is for us today. Smith Wigglesworth, there are some different counts, but he raised 20-something people from the dead that we know of. And that's just counting by eyewitnesses that knew him. There is more records that people don't know about. But over 20 people raised from the dead. Smith Wigglesworth, he said it like this: any man can be changed by faith, no matter how he may be fettered. Fettered is an old British word. It means bound. No matter how a person is bound up, no matter what the problem is, no matter what the situation is, no matter what circumstance we have gotten ourselves into, whether somebody else got us into the situation or we got ourselves into the situation. You understand? There are some situations that the devil may bring. There are some situations we brought ourselves into. You know, mistakes create situations. You understand that? But it doesn't matter how somebody is fettered. It doesn't matter how somebody may be bound. Any man can be changed by faith. Any man can be changed by faith. Now we know, and I know many of you know as well, I want to say to you high schoolers here, I see a lot of high schoolers. God has a plan for you. Not just for you. You may have heard this before, that God has a plan for you. But God's plan for you is not for you just personally. You see, God's plan, thinking for yourself, and what does God have in store for me? Me. Well, we're not 3 and 4 years old anymore. When somebody's 3 and 4 years old, it's all about me. God has a plan for you to impact the nation and the nations. And so don't be so concerned about what's God's plan for me? Who's my spouse going to be? What my house is going to be like? What are the things? What kind of environment will I live in? Nation changers aren't too concerned about what kind of house they live in or what kind of car they drive. They don't have too much time to think about that. See, when you're consumed about that kind of thinking, that's selfishness thinking. And you won't be able to make a whole lot of impact. You might be able to make a few coins here and there, and that's okay, but the impact won't be there. But God has a plan for you to go out and impact communities, villages, cities, industries, courthouses, government offices. Never allow somebody to look down upon you, because Christ in you, greater is he who is in you. And so you do have a bright future. Now faith, of course we know from Romans chapter 10, it comes by hearing. And hearing comes from the word of God. But here is something I want to talk about concerning the faith message today. That, yes, there was a man of Lystra crippled from his feet. And he heard Paul speak, and Paul, perceiving he had faith, said in a loud voice, "Rise up." Faith came in that one church service, and the crippled man was healed. And that's okay, that's wonderful, that's well. But I believe I'm talking to some people that want to reach another level of maturity today. Currently, we're constructing some buildings in Mombasa. And I've noticed that if you want to build just a personal house, ground floor, single story, then the foundation you need to dig, depending on the soil, of course, and all of that, but 1 or 2 feet down might be sufficient to build a solid house of a ground floor only. And your Sunday sermon might bring you deep enough to get some places. Are you here?
Yes.
But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. There are preachers, and many have used this, it comes from Charles Spurgeon. He said, most Christians, they feed themselves 3 warm meals a day, naturally speaking. Spiritually, they feed themselves 1 cold snack a week. And then they wonder why they're weak spiritually. Your Sunday Christian will experience some things with God just by nature of receiving and attending what's at church. But we're building some other buildings that are going 4 or 5 stories. And I noticed in order to go 4 or 5 stories up, they needed to go 5, 6, 7, 8 feet down. And you may not be able to go 5, 6, 7, 8 feet down on a Sunday morning. And by the way, somebody else is not going to be doing all the digging for you. Mature people are people that know how to do a little bit of their own digging. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. And there is a rule of thumb when it comes to some of the sky-rise buildings, and the rule of thumb is this: for every 10 floors up, you need to dig 1 floor down. So if you want 10 stories up, you need to dig the depth of 1 story. If you want 20 stories up, you need to dig the depth of 2 stories. If you want 30 stories up, you need to dig the depth of 3 stories. Rule of thumb depends on where you are and what kind of ground you have and all that kind of a thing. But you understand the illustration? You see, God doesn't want you to be content with peanut faith. What are you talking about? I'm talking about that $1 million house. I call that peanut faith. That Mercedes that you wanted in that garage of that $1 million house. I call that small thinking, because it's still about us and not about reaching out into the world. See, God thinks bigger than this. But now I want you to see, faith comes by hearing. But there is a principle that comes with hearing, that sometimes just the hearing of somebody scratching the surface a little bit on Sunday is not enough. You need to go to meditation. What's meditation? Meditating. How do you do that? Well, Hebrews chapter 11, let's look at Sarah for a little while. You see, in the book of Genesis, when Sarah heard a story that she was going to be a mother, she laughed. And it wasn't the laughter of faith, it was the laughter of doubt and unbelief. You see, sometimes you can laugh by faith, you can also laugh by doubt and unbelief. Ha, 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 I ain't gonna happen to me. That's the kind of laughter that Sarah had in Hebrew, back in Genesis. But in Hebrews 11, verse 11, The Bible says, by faith Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, because she considered him faithful who had promised. She considered. Consider. That tells me she did her own thinking. Are you listening? She didn't allow the evangelist to bombard her head with the thinking of the evangelist. That has its place, but that only builds a shallow foundation that you can get an immediate result house kind of thing built on. Are you here today? But see, she was to give birth to a nation. That doesn't always come by a Sunday sermon. She needed to learn the lifestyle of faith. So she learned to consider faithful. You see, faith is based on having heard, yes. And you need to hear the promise. You see, you don't grow in faith in healing by reading scriptures on prosperity. And it's just like going to the gym. Some people go to the gym and they have a leg day. You know you don't grow your arms on a leg day? And if you keep on having leg days, you'll have strong legs and you'll have weak arms. You know, there are some people like that. Every time they go to the gym, they work on the upper body. And it's only the upper body. And it, you know, some of these people, they walk around and it looks like they got their legs out of a matchbox or something. Because they're only exercising one portion. And so you can grow faith for family, you can grow faith for peace and go into dangerous areas, you can grow faith for healing, and it comes different ways by exercising the right areas or meditating in the right areas. So Sarah considered him faithful. What does it mean to consider somebody faithful? You see, faith is based on knowledge of the word, but it's based in two areas or two kinds of knowledge. You need to know the promise, what's been promised. But I would imagine most of you, if you go out of church here today, you might see some people on the street and you might find a couple of beggars. And if you find one of those beggars, you know, sometimes they get emails. Email says, send us $100. After you send us $100, we'll take care of some legal things. We'll be millionaires. We'll send you $100,000. Anybody gotten those emails? You see, there is a promise in the email, but I still don't believe. Oh, I can clearly read the promise. There is no issue with the promise. It sounds like a wonderful promise. But there is an issue with the promisor. I have no confidence in the promisor. And you see, faith is based on knowledge of the promise, but also the ability to count faithful the one who promised. In other words, you need to know God. You're not going to grow strong faith not knowing him well. Oh yes, you might get a Sunday miracle, a microwave miracle. But today I'm talking about the lifestyle of faith. And the lifestyle of faith is not Sunday between 10 and noon. It's what happens on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Whoo, Sunday service was good, but we're running out of steam. What do we do by Wednesday? And Monday morning, maybe the love walk was doing well, but maybe our supervisor was not very kind to us all week. And by Wednesday, the emotion of Sunday service wore off, and then we're the ones speaking ill at work, not just the supervisor by now. You know what I'm talking about. So Sarah considered him faithful. Well, you go back to former promises. Did God promise salvation? Did he give you salvation? Why? Because he is a good God and his word cannot fail. Then over in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, did he talk about if you should sin, confess, and he is faithful and just to what? You know, I used to struggle with that. And I thought, I don't feel forgiven. You know what I did? I was a teenager at this time. So I went back and I read. And I read. And I realized after I meditated, 1 John 1:9. I meditated there for a while. I realized God is not a man that he should lie. He said here, if you confess, he is faithful and just to forgive. And you see, the faith for forgiveness, the realization of forgiveness started coming up from my heart. And when I realized, you know what? There is nothing I need to do. There is nowhere I need to go. I don't need to wait to come to church. The thing is done. He has done it. It's not for me to do. When I realized that, the joy of salvation came back. And I've kept it ever since. I've never struggled in the area of unforgiveness or thinking God doesn't forgive me again. After I meditated on the word in that area. So he saved me. Then when I messed up, he forgave me. And then Sarah can go back to past promises. You said in your word in Genesis chapter 12 that you would make us a blessing. And Sarah goes, you know, when Lot was rescued, we sure were a blessing. All those kings took him captive. And although Abraham is not a king, he took the 319 men trained in his house. And he went after Lot. Notice something here. Abraham did not sit at home and pray about Lot's deliverance. People of faith are not passive people. They do something about what they're capable of doing something about. And then they use their faith to add God's power to whatever they're doing. Abraham didn't leave the swords at home. He took those people trained. And he went forth. Some of you believe in God for $1 million. Passivity doesn't bring in $1 million. You want $1 million? It's easy. The principle is easy. Provide something of value for $1 million and $1 million will be there. How do you get 1,000 shillings? You provide something of value for 1,000 shillings and the customer will give you 1,000 shillings. It's simple. It's the same way you get $1 million. See, some of you believe in God for the wrong thing. Some of you are trying to believe God that you will get money by doing nothing. That's unscriptural. God does not bless passivity, he doesn't bless laxity, and he does not bless people who don't want to work. I'm just telling you the truth. Now, increase your faith in the area of how much value you can bring to the hour. How much value can you bring to the day? You're able to sweep the floors, that's wonderful. There is a certain value to that. Are you here? You see, we talk about the faithfulness of God, but our lives are supposed to be a reflection of His character and His nature as well. So when we talk about the faithfulness of God, our realization of His faithfulness, our revelation of His faithfulness, will show itself in our faithfulness. Somebody said, I need to grow in the love walk. Well, grow in the revelation of His love for us. It'll be easy for us to grow in the love walk. You see, when you find a Christian that doesn't walk much in the love walk, the reason is they don't understand His love walk. When you find a Christian that doesn't know much about faithfulness, the reason is they don't know much about God's faithfulness. They're going to struggle in their faith walk. You see, people who don't honor their own promises, they end up having issues believing in the faithfulness of God honoring His promises. Are you here today?
Yes.
I think I'm preaching better than you're shouting amen. This is good pastoral preaching. Growing. So Sarah counted him faithful. how Abraham went back out, and surely he was a blessing. He was rescued. He was faithful with this promise. It happened, this promise. It happened, this promise. It happened, this promise. It happened. Now God is saying, you yourself would have a son. It's not going to be by Hagar. See, God is never pleased by plan B faith. You know what plan B faith is? You believe God for something, and you get closer to the problem, you get closer to the problem, you get closer to the problem, you go, oh, that problem is big. Is there another way we can do this, God? He'll let you do plan B if you want to, but you'll go without the miracle that he really assigned for you. That's what Sarah did that first time. Plan B, but plan B is never good enough. Let's be plan A people. So then she goes, you know what? God is faithful in all these other areas. You see, I'm still talking about meditation. She considered. She meditated on the faithfulness. What does it mean? Faithfulness talks about what have they promised in the past and what did they do with the things they promised in the past. Has he been faithful to deliver us? Looks to me, everybody here has been delivered. We're still around. We're not dead yet. It's all right. Glory. So that was Sarah. What about Abraham? In Romans chapter 4, verse 20 and 21, it says about Abraham, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in faith. Everybody say, grow strong in faith. He grew strong in faith. How? By running to the preacher, give me more faith. By praying to God, give me more faith. He grew strong in faith. How? By giving glory to God. He spent time in God's presence. He worshiped God. He gave glory to God, fully convinced. You see, faith is not I think so. Faith is not I hope so. Faith is not I used to believe. And faith is not I used to be joyful about this, but my joy has kind of worn out. That's not faith. Faith is fully convinced today. Fully convinced. You remember Safaricom stock when they did their IPO? That's like, I don't know, 10, 12, 15 years ago. You know, it used to be Telcom, and then they spun it off to Safaricom, and it was still privately held by the government. And then they issued all the... Anybody remember those days? The whole country was talking about Safaricom shares. Go buy, go buy. It'll double within 1 year. And I talked to a lot of people and I asked them, so have you bought? They said no. I said, why? You're saying it's going to double in 1 year. What else are you doing with your money that's giving a better return than doubling in 1 year? Nothing. But I could tell by their action they didn't believe, they were just thinking so. Faith is not assumption or hoping or thinking or maybe so or thinking it's a high probability. And that's what these people were. They thought it was a 90% probability, but they were not convinced. And when they were not convinced, they did nothing about it. It was the people who were really convinced, they are the ones who went and bought Safaricom, isn't it? See, you can tell by what a person does whether they're fully convinced or not. People that are fully convinced it's going to rain, they bring their umbrella. You can tell by the umbrella they believe it's going to rain. Praise the Lord. So no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in faith as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. You see, what is Abraham meditating on? Now, I know this. Your bills might be stacked up, or the doctor's report might be in front of you. And if you look at the bills, look at the doctor's report. I have some bills on my desk at my office right now. You look at those things, and your countenance might tend to fall. Peace might tend to escape. Now, here's this way some people try to live their faith life. They get into the presence of God. Maybe they put on some praise and worship, and that's okay. And so when they put on that praise and worship, they get into the presence of God. They start worshiping God, creator of heavens and the earth, and start worshiping. And that's good and that's fine. And when you start getting into God's presence and start worshiping Him, the peace of His presence will come. And sometimes you will take your eyes off of the thing you're worrying about, and you will put your existence on the fact that God exists, your faith, your consideration, your meditation will be on the fact that God exists and God is great. That's good and that's fine, but that won't get the job done. Are you here?
Yes.
See, we please God by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For we must believe that He what? He exists. And see, believing He exists can bring peace at the moment. But you can't just believe He exists. You have to get to the place you believe He rewards. So sometimes you go into God's presence and you feel good for the moment. Well, when you get out of His presence, you no longer feel good and you're still faced with the problems and nothing really happened. You just had a good worship session. Are you still with me today?
Yes.
And so Abraham was fully convinced, not just that God existed, but that God was able to do what He had promised. In other words, Abraham also is counting God able. He's counting God faithful to deliver His promise. Learning to count Him faithful. Over in the Psalms, the first Psalm. Hallelujah. You see, I want us to get to the place. Coming to the pastor for our need is fine, and that's good. And you have a well-capable pastor, so we thank God for that. But we need to get to the place that we can take care of some bigger things, and we're able to do it at home. The first Psalm says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked." Most people got that one figured out. "Or stands in the way of sinners." Verse 2, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates." Everybody say meditate.
Meditate.
Day and night.
Day and night.
He is like a tree planted by the streams of water. You've seen the trees down by the river? Even when the country is in drought, that tree is still green, isn't it? You go out to Kambandi or Kajiado or someplace like that, you see the trees, they look like they're dead. The leaves have fallen. Except you've out there, you might see a few, all of a sudden you see a row of trees and their trees are green. You go over there and you find out, oh, they have roots in the riverbed. That's what he's talking about here. He's like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In everything he does, he prospers. You see, that meditation is like building your root level. And the more time you've spent meditating, the bigger of a drought you will victoriously come out of. The deeper you have meditated, the more you have meditated, the bigger of a challenge you'll be able to overcome. I was sitting in class with Brother Hagen. This is about 1 year before he passed, and I was sitting there in the classroom. And you see, you need different roots. You can have faith for $1,000, you can have faith for $1,000,000. If you want to use shillings, roughly speaking, you can use faith for 100,000 shillings. But if you need 10 million shillings or 100 million shillings, it's a little different. You need deeper roots. And one Sunday service may not provide everything you need. There's some things you need to do. Meditate at home. You see, there is no such thing as a strong Christian who doesn't read his Bible every day. Meditation. Brother Hagen said it like this. When you get excited about the Word, then it will work for you. When you get excited about the Word, some of you are not getting it yet. So Brother Hagin is about 85 years old. His body is not as quick as it used to be. And he'd come to class and he'd share. And he told us, I was lying in bed and I started thinking of the goodness of God. And I started thinking about the faithfulness of God. Is it okay? Oh, sure, if you want to, that's fine. He started thinking about the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God. Started thinking about the blood of the cross. That blood is stronger than any other blood. Somebody said, you don't know what blood my family has been playing with. I may not know what blood your family has been playing with, but I know this, that the blood of Christ has translated us from the whatever family we were in into the family of God. Amen. And that blood can no longer touch because I'm covered by the blood of Christ. Amen. He started thinking about the blood. And he started thinking about Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. He says, he made a spoil of them openly. The principalities and the powers. He was raised far and high above. Every name, every power, everything that is there is to be named, not only in this world, but also in the world. He's laying in bed at night, meditating on. He's 85 years old. He can quote 2/3 or 3/4 of the New Testament by memorization, but he's still meditating. He is still building deeper roots at 85. And he says, I got so thrilled, I pulled the covers away. He said, I got so thrilled that although whatever I had done, Christ redeemed me. I have been set free. He said, I got so thrilled, I got out of bed and I started to rejoice in my bed. And he demonstrated for us in front of us. 85 years old. He's dancing around the platform there at Rhema Bible Training College. I got so thrilled, I started rejoicing in my bedroom. It's wonderful to have worship here. And it's wonderful to have a Holy Ghost service. We can do that too. But strong believers, there is a place that God has ordained for you. And even you high schoolers, there are things in society He has called you to do. Amen. We need Christians in government. And some say we don't because we have had so many bad experiences. I understand. I understand that. But you see, Daniel had a backbone of steel. How did he get a backbone of steel? You see, when you go into a wasp's nest, so to speak, a place of darkness, you see, we're not called to go into a place of light. We're called to go into places of darkness. Go into industries that just need to be shaken by the light of God. But you see, unless you have built yourself up to the place, it doesn't matter whether the Sunday was good or not. You have gotten to the place, you meditate until you're thrilled by the Word of God. You live by the Word of God. When you live by the Word of God, all of Daniel's advisors and all of his friends that may plot their plans and do whatever, but Daniel still opened his windows like usual. Like usual. They're threatening to kill him. He opens the windows like usual and prays so that they can hear him like he always does. Because you'll come into some situations where you will need the power of God on the inside and be aware of it when the sharks are swimming around you. Well, Daniel walked out of the lion's den, didn't he? When you get thrilled about the word, when you get excited about the word, you see, we have Christians that are coming to church with witch doctor mentality. What do you mean by that? They want the power to show up without them having any responsibility. Wanting the pastor to do everything for you. He's not meant to do everything for you. You're not supposed to be a baby. You're supposed to listen to him so you can grow up and get the milk delivered on your own and not come to him for the milk. Oh, pastor, can you pray for me? Thank God pastor is praying. I know he is. But grow up to the place you're so confident in God's ability to answer prayer, you don't even bother to tell pastor, please pray for me. There are $1 million opportunities every day.
That's right.
Success comes when you're prepared for them. When you're prepared for them. There's $1 million opportunities every single day walking past. But success comes when opportunity and preparedness, they meet. If you're going to prepare yourself for a successful life with God, there must be meditation. And meditation doesn't come in a Holy Ghost service.
No.
There are some things that come by impartation.
That's right.
That has its place. But everything in the kingdom of God does not come by anointing oil, or by the laying on of hands, or by somebody else praying. There are some places you'll never get unless you learn the habit of meditation. I said there are some places you'll never get unless you learn the habit of meditation. Hallelujah. Abraham, Sarah, King David was one. On your law I meditate day and night, he said. See, that's what caused him to stand in the storms. And so, some while ago, I've had many experiences. You see, sometimes we just put ourselves purposefully in situations it's going to be impossible. Faith will do that. Put yourself in a situation, it's impossible. You see, some people are afraid of giving because they don't have a revelation of the generosity of God. They're afraid if I give, I'll end up going without. But you see, when you're fully convinced God is providing, even though it looks impossible, you won't be afraid of giving that sacrificial gift. And there are some places in God you won't go unless you know, unless you get to that level of generosity. I'm not talking about giving yourself poor. I've seen plenty of people that have done that. Those are people that got coerced and they gave, and they had no revelation of the generosity of God. They didn't know how to believe for a harvest. But there are some places in God. See, God has ordained for sub-Saharan Africa to be an example for the rest of the world. That won't come by us singing God's praises. It'll come by us, some of us, being the next world's Thomas Edison, if you will. You understand what I'm talking about? Thomas Edison worked. It came by work. It didn't come by prayer. Florence Nightingale, the mother of modern-day nursing, She didn't pray her way to the title of becoming the modern day mother of nursing. She worked her way there. And if sub-Saharan Africa is going to be an example for the world, the people of God will have to learn, yes, how to meditate, but then how to execute the dreams and the visions that God has given us. And it takes execution to get there. I'm still talking about faith. See, faith works by works as well. There is a work side of faith as well. You have to execute your faith, so to speak. And it looks a little different depending on what we're believing God for. Glory. Now in Mark 11, this lady came up to Brother Hagin and said, "You said..." Brother Hagin said, "No, I didn't say that." She got angry with him. "You said..." Brother Hagin said, "No, I didn't say that." "Yes, you did." Finally, Brother Hagin said, "I didn't say that. Jesus said that." Mark 11:22. Have faith in God. That's a responsibility we have. You can allow yourself to live such that you kind of leave the faith life aside. But Jesus told us, have faith in God. And then he said, "Truly I say to you, whoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed," that's the King James, this is the ESV here, "be taken up and thrown into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will come to pass, it'll be done for him." You see, you meditate until you're so confident that you're no longer scared of the problem. You're no longer scared of the enemy. Then you just rise up and you say, whatever needs to be accomplished, you say it. You say it. Mm-hmm. I learned something from an old business professor of mine. You go to the doctor's office. See, I have my phone in one pocket. But see here, I have something else. He said, when you go to the doctor's office, or you're stuck in traffic, or you're wherever that you have some extra time, you pull out something to meditate on. Spend your time wisely. So I just have a little book here, and I have several scriptures written down. This is faith by confession. Just a little page here with scripture references. What does it say? Romans chapter 10, verse 8. The word is nigh you, in your mouth, and in your heart. You meditate to get it into your heart, and then you have to put it in your mouth. The word is nigh you, in your mouth, and in your heart. That's how faith works. Joel chapter 3, verse 10 says, let the weak say, I am strong. Romans chapter 10, further down in the chapter, for with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Mark 11:23, we just read it, shall say unto this mountain, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Mark 8, verse 10, speak the word only. That's the centurion talking. And my servant shall be well. And Jesus said, look, nowhere in Israel have I found such faith. Mark 5, verse 28, the woman with the issue of blood, for she kept saying, if I'll just touch the hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. Mark chapter 4, verse 39. Jesus said to the sea, peace, be still. And the water was flat. Mark 7, the Syrophoenician woman. She said, but the dogs, they eat from the crumbs or the fall from the table. And Jesus said, go this way of yours for this statement. You see, she said, They got their answers by saying, didn't they? Luke 17, verse 6, somebody said, that mountain is Jerusalem. He's talking about talking to Israel. No, he's not. He's also said, say unto this mulberry tree, be uprooted and dump yourself in the sea, you shall have what you say. Tree, mountain, dozen, whatever the problem is. So you meditate on these things because over time, the things of the world is such that you won't believe that confession works anymore. So you meditate. In my Bible, I have different meditation sheets, depending on the subject. Some for healing, some for this, some for that. Here's one on faith. This is a lot of the things Jesus said about faith. And I pull the sheet out and I meditate because I need to build my faith. I'm giving a Sunday school lesson now. Sometimes we need it. Now here, I've done this many times, meditated until you're so confident that excitement comes. You meditate until you're so confident that excitement comes, because when you get excited about the word, see, faith is revealed by joy and peace. People who are in faith, they don't cry all night. People who cry all night, they might be making the right confessions, but faith is not there in the heart. Because faith, if faith was there in the heart, you would not be crying, you would be rejoicing. So you meditate until you start rejoicing, until peace is there, until you're no longer afraid of the problem. Just recently, we've had some bills pile up, and so I've done this. Now I'm telling you, one of those bills was due here, it's now a few weeks ago. There's many other bills. We're going through a season of... You go through a season of expansion. You go through a season of bills as well sometimes. Yeah. And so you just have to make sure your faith remains strong for those bills. So we have some things due. And if those bills were not paid on a certain date, there were some pretty bad family events that were going to happen. It was looking bad. You see, that happens if you don't pay. You see, good Christians, they pay their bills. You don't get yourself in a situation where you can't pay your bills. That's not wisdom. So you need to know that you have the faith to go through this whole thing before you start out on your little project. Because it's one thing to be emotionally excited and start out the project and thinking you have the faith to see it through, but that's a different thing to ensure that you have the faith when Wednesday is there and when Friday is there. You understand what I'm talking about? So you have to make sure of that before you start. Well, the Holy Spirit will help. He'll tell you whether this is the right one or not. If the project is too big, there'll be something on the inside that says, don't do that. Oh, I'm a big man of faith. Guess how I know? I've tried and I failed. And so a portion of the money came in, but the portion was small, so it wouldn't affect the bad outcome because there was a certain bill that needed to be paid. Now see, here is what's sometimes easy to do. You start seeing an answer to prayer coming. Maybe you're praying about the weather. You need some rain to come, or maybe you need some sunshine to come. Then you start looking and you start seeing that the clouds are starting to change. And then you start relaxing, saying, it's done now. And then you move from faith into what we call mental assent, just assumption. And then the answer ceases to be there. And sometimes it's harder to keep your mind away from mental assent and assumption. Sometimes that's harder to get your than it is to get your heart into faith to begin with. You understand? Some battles take a season. Not every battle is 1 and 2 seconds. So you have to see it through. And so some money came in, and honestly, for a couple of days, I got into mental assent. Thank God I caught myself. And I got back into the faith. How do you know your faith? There is a joy on the inside. you're not afraid of the bill. You know, in healing lines, a lot of people will come because they need finances. So I ask people, what's the matter? And they say, I need money. Do you know that? I have kept track. 9 out of 10 people who come to prayer for money, they can't answer the question, how much money do you need? One time I pulled out the 100 shillings. I said, here, will this make you happy? He said, you needed money. He said, no. And I said, well, then how much do you need? What do you believe in God for? Can't define it. Answer will never come. You're so afraid of the problem, you can't even face the bill. That's not faith. That's foolishness. That's fear. Look at those bills. Calculate. I've done this many, many times. I've made a schedule. This date, this amount. This date, this amount. This date, this amount. And I've laid out a payment schedule for the next 6 weeks of everything that needs to be paid, and I don't even have the money for the first one yet. I keep it at my desk. I have one on my desk right now. And so I got back into faith. Well, that portion of money was due on a Friday morning. On Thursday, I'm still rejoicing. But you know, on Thursday, I have some opportunities to start despairing. I have some opportunities to start thinking about, what plan B can we come up with? Anybody been there? And your mind wants to start meditating on plan B. I'm not meditating on plan B. I'm meditating on the promises of God. I'm believing God for plan A. And I had to keep my mind away from plan B. And I said, no, God will come through. And great people of faith don't tell people about their problems. If you need pastoral care, great, talk about your problems. There is a place for that, but there is also a place to get into the realm of faith where you don't need to talk about the problems because you know. Yeah. Or another way to say it, people that ask others what to do with their problems, they're not yet in faith. That's another way of putting it. Now, faith is still not pretending. You have to know the joy is there. So the joy is there. And on Thursday, I had to keep my mind and make sure there was a joy in my heart. 6 p.m. Thursday night, the money came. But see, now I've got some other bills on my desk. And so here the other day, I noticed that on those particular bills, you've allowed yourself to get back into mental ascent. And I was going to just spend some time on Friday and Saturday getting myself back into faith, but I thought, well, I'm preaching here on Sunday, so I'm just going to demonstrate to you right now how to move from mental ascent back into faith. So I'm inviting you into my study, into my office, and I'm just showing you what I do. So once again, I have a sheet of paper with scriptures on finances because this particular problem is a financial one. Well, my God is greater. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, it says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." Now, if you remember from 1 Peter 2:24 sounds just like it, doesn't it? Except that's healing. By his stripes we are healed. You see, this is a covenant language. And somebody who understands covenant, you see, he became poor. He took my identity of poverty in order that I might gain his identity of richness. Exchange of identity, you become. So I meditate on that and I say, thank you, Lord. You gave me a covenant. I have a covenant right. In the Old Testament, you said, there in Deuteronomy chapter 28, I should be the head and not the tail. That's the blessing of Abraham. You said there in Genesis 13, verse 2, that Abraham was very rich in silver and cattle and in gold. And then over there in Galatians chapter 3, verse 13, you talked about that Christ, he took the curse of the law. He became a curse for us. He become. Has to do with identity. Has to do with blood covenant. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law for having become a curse for us. For it's written, curse is everyone that's hanged on a tree. Verse 14. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. That blessing is that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. But it's the whole entire blessing of Abraham. And that whole entire blessing of Abraham, that is freedom from not being able to carry children. That's freedom from sickness then, isn't it? Abraham was very rich, so it's freedom from poverty, isn't it? He made us to be the head and not the tail financially. So I just meditate on these things. And in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. My God will supply every need. I got some needs staring me in the face right now. But my God will supply every need. God, you're going to supply every single need, every payment will be supplied on time according to your riches in glory. I know you're rich in glory. Your glory is beyond description. Your glory is beyond language. I can't even fathom and understand your glory. And yet you will supply every need of ours according to your riches in glory. In Matthew 16, verse 8 and 9, the disciples were discussing, they forgot to carry bread. That's like your administrator forgot to do something, you know. And they were discussing, we forgot bread and we're going on a mission. I hope they're bringing something on Monday. It's for you to bring something on Monday. Don't forget it. Don't forget it. But Jesus said, oh, you a little faith. They made a mistake. Jesus said, oh, you see, Jesus has mercy even on mistakes. Even troubles you get yourself into, he has mercy on those things. He said, why are you discussing the lack of bread? Don't you remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000? Or the pieces that we picked up for the 4,000? Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Why is that even a thing? Where's your faith? Well, if Jesus expected his disciples to not have too much mindfulness about such little problems when they're out in the desert, I guess he don't decide for you don't desire for me to think too much about these bills that are coming. And the bills that are on my desk there are now, they need to be paid, but there's some more coming because we're doing bigger things. Working on buildings, working on bigger buildings. See, pressure is there and saying, don't start that second building. We will start that second building, and the money will come. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And it looks impossible. And I start meditating, and I start thinking, and I start rejoicing! Because the money is coming! Glory! When you get to the place of doing that in your living room, in your study, in your bedroom, you will start to see God moving on your behalf.
Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah.
B.B. Hankins, Mark Hankins' dad, he said this, I danced the money in. Glory! Hallelujah. Knowing, my God will supply every need of yours. And God is able to make all grace abound so that you will have an abundance in everything. Don't look at the preacher like that. What are you sitting there for? What are you believing about? This is a good opportunity right here to start rejoicing. Yes. Hallelujah. What are you believing God about? I'm showing you how to do it. Glory. Glory. Hallelujah. There is more. There is more. But the further you want to go, the deeper the roots have to go, and you have to get to the place that you know how to meditate and you know how to rejoice when nobody's looking. Yes. Glory. Amen. We have teams going into the Congo. They're in the middle of the war zone. 6 million people killed in the last 30 years. More was yesterday. No news coming out because nobody wants to talk about the news, because once you talk about the news, you have to talk about the conflict over the gold and the minerals and all that. Nobody wants that. You know, the media is just a propaganda machine.
That's right.
Designed to mess with your mind so you don't know what's going on in this world. That's all it is. Professional propaganda machine. Some of you think you're reading the truth and you read the Daily Nation. It's all propaganda. Facts are put out in such a way that you get a particular picture that they want you to get.
Yeah.
And the real facts are ignored so that you don't get the real picture.
Yeah.
They're going into the Congo. If they run into a problem, I'm not around to lay hands on them.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they're the ones coming in there with the light, with the good news. See, there are some assignments you won't get to until you learn God is in me. God is for me. God is with me. And you have to know it in the middle of the darkness. Glory. You see, I just... Glory! There's a joy on the inside. I just showed you, I meditated. Sometimes it's just done in 30 seconds and the joy comes. But you see, if it doesn't come in 1 minute, there is other times I had to meditate for 15 minutes. And after 5 minutes, I'm thinking, this is not working. No, I'm keep going. You keep going, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Sometimes it's half an hour. Don't care how long it takes. I'm going to meditate until the joy is there. Now, bring me the bills, because I'll stare those bills down, knowing greater is he who is in me than he that is in the world. I'll laugh at those bills. I'll enjoy looking at those numbers. Because the money is coming. The money is coming. The money is coming. The money is coming. And when I get done with these bills and get me a bigger project with some bigger bills, because the money will come for that too.
Amen.
You become a force to be reckoned with. Hallelujah. Glory. 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 Just in closing, if you go home and you want more, you study Numbers 13, chapters 13 and 14. It's the 10 spies, the 12 spies going out. Joshua and Caleb said, we are well able. The others influenced the whole country to say, we're not able. The ones that said, we're not able, they cried all night and said, wish we could go back to Egypt or die in this wilderness. Later on in that chapter, as you study, you'll find God saying, as you have said in my hearing, so I will do to you. They all died in the desert. Not because God wanted it, because they said it. They set their hearts on the wrong thing. Then secondly, in 1 Samuel 17, you have the story of David and Goliath. As you study that story, he says, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? It's very obvious his mind was on the covenant from his time of playing and worshiping in the harp when he was shepherding those sheep out in the fields. That was a mediocre job, a little job. And he went beyond expectations. You see, the faith life is not just believing God for a promise. It is our whole entire life. And his work ethics were such that even though his daddy would not invite him to the party when the big prophet came, he still went above the call of duty and took the lion and the bear. You future employers, employees, are you listening? your current employees. His boss didn't give him the time of day, but yet he served above the call of duty. He used his faith in God to face a problem he wasn't even expected to face. And despite his employer ridiculing him and saying, "You're not even big enough to come to the big party," he refused offense to settle in his heart, and he served above the call of duty, used his faith to take the lion and the bear. Some people are not ready for Goliath because they're not willing to do the small things by faith. You'll never encounter a Goliath. Because if you show up with bread to the army, you'll just be showing up the bread. You won't even see the opportunity, because you haven't prepared yourself. David prepared himself. So when the opportunity of Goliath came, he was ready. Because he served well when nobody was looking. And we got no credit for it. And he got no accolade and no diploma to hang on the wall. If you're going to go all the way with God, you need that same mindset that David had when he was shepherding the sheep. He didn't go around saying, "Who sent me to shepherd these stupid sheep?" He worshiped God. His covenant was on his mind. He was a man of meditation in the low estate. He took Goliath. Goliath was taken with a sling and a stone. It was a miracle. But here is something many Christians will not do. Because if a sling and a stone worked on Goliath, they refused to upgrade their skills. That was the last time that David used a sling. Some people, faith will not give you $1 million. There are some places God wants you, but you have to upgrade from the sling to the sword. And that doesn't come by prayer and fasting. It comes by study, naturally speaking. It comes by practice, naturally speaking. It comes by going to the ones that know how to swing the sword so that you can learn how to swing the sword. You've got to learn. You have to apply yourselves and learn some things and grow in some natural areas in order for God to use you in the area where you've been called. Too many Pentecostals wanted to come by prayer and fasting. Prayer and fasting is good. But you cannot run on one leg. You need the practical side of the other leg. David's words were such, he was brought before the king. And he engaged with Goliath. He took Goliath. Later on, he ran the country. Yeah. Those are some things to meditate on as you go home. Pastor Davis, thank you. God bless you.